All right, I'm going to let the quartet make their way up while I'm introducing Brother Cox and get in place. Brother Darrell Cox and I have been friends for a long time. I love him dearly, so count him as a dear friend. Brother Cox has been at Trinity Baptist in Mocksville, North Carolina, for about 29 years, I believe. And he's one of the hardest working preachers that I know. He has been a bus captain for all 29 years that he's been pastoring there. How many you run on your bus, Brother Cox? Runs about 100. It's kind of backslidden. But I've been out soul winning with him on many a Saturday. A good soul winner, love to hear him preach. He'll get it down where you can understand it. He'll bless your heart. And it'll come from his heart to your heart. And that means something. So I'm excited to have him tonight. The quartet will sing, and then Brother Cox will come and preach.
She pressed through the crowd, so weak and so frail. So often she'd reached out, but her efforts failed. With face so persistent, determined, she must trust Jesus. Her friend said, just give up, for after 12 years of heartaches and failures, disappointments and fears, accept your condition with a multitude. He will not see us.
I can hear her rejoicing as she looks down the lane. She sees someone coming. They're calling his name. Son of David, Messiah. She heard someone call him the healer. The crippled and lame were now leaping for joy. Those who were blind were beholding the Lord. Would this be the moment, or what hindrances many conceal her? Her heart beat so fast as she came into sight. Her emotions were filled with both joy and with pride. She let him pass by, but not out of reach. As she touched his garments, he turned to speak. Someone's been healed today. A miracle passed your way. Who touched my clothes? You now are made whole. Step forward and claim. Your faith has pulled you through. Your healing has come to you. You can receive today. Right now in Jesus' name.
Though Satan says give up, you're close to a miracle.
Jesus is passing your way.
God's still in business and does the impossible.
Sending down blessings each day.
You can be healed today.
Let a miracle pass your way. Shout, touch his clothes, you can be made whole. Step forward and claim. Your faith can pull you through. Your healing will come to you. You can receive today, right now in Jesus' name. You can receive today, right now in Jesus' name. Passing your way.
Amen. 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 That was good, wasn't it? That was a blessing. Well, it's a blessing to be here. And I've enjoyed all of the music, and all of the preaching has been great. Well, I'll tell you, last night, the two messages by Brother Gilman and Brother Smith, and then the messages this morning by Brother Martin, Brother Fugit, Brother Brown. I'll tell you, I got blessed. I got helped. It helped me, and I've been helped. I really have. I've been encouraged. You know, that's usually the way it is. You come to help, but you get more help than you give lots of times. And I appreciate this meeting. I appreciate Brother Coral. And I appreciate Revival Fires and his paper. It's been a blessing to so many people. And then I appreciate him promoting soul winning and promoting the old time religion and keeping it going in the day we're living. I appreciate the paper. I love Brother Coral and appreciate him asking me, Brother Coral, thank you for having me to come and to preach in this meeting. I don't really, honestly, I mean this. I'm not just trying to be nice. I heard Dr. Malone one time say, I'm not trying to be nice. He said, niceness just oozes out of me. It's what Brother Malone said. And I was telling Dr. Hiles what Dr. Malone said. He said, I'm not trying to be nice. He said, niceness just oozes out of me. He said, I've known Tom a long time. He said, I think it's about all oozed out. Well, anyhow, I really honestly appreciate everything in the room and everything, the meal today. I appreciate all of it and appreciate Pastor Terry Angel. I love him. I love this man too. I'd love to hear him preach. What a preacher. These good men, to hear them preach. But, you know, tonight the Lord's got me up here. And so I'm going to do the best I can to just encourage you. The worst problem I have is trying to figure out what to preach. Now, I've prayed about it, but I honestly have an awful time. I hate to tell you this, but sometimes I'm up sitting on a platform and ain't got a clue what I'm going to preach. Now, I know you say, well, that'd make me nervous, man. What do you think it does to me? Hey, I'll tell you the truth. Now, I do prepare. I do study. I read and everything. But sometimes I just have a hard time with it, wanting to know, you know, I want to hit the mark. I really do. I don't want to just preach. I want to help. I mean that before God, I want to help. And I hope somebody, like this morning, Brother Brown's message. You know, sometimes it's a message is just what you needed, that one. They're all good, but sometimes it's where you are, you know. And that and this morning, I mean, that thing, boy, on that the dark hour. I'm telling you what, that got to me this morning. I tell you, I love it. And I love it when God gets a hold of me and blesses my soul. And I'm glad I can still be touched.
Amen.
You know, sometimes I look out and some people, you know, you preach to sometimes don't look like anything touches. I'm glad at least that God can still speak to me.
Amen.
And I want God to speak to me. I want God to speak to you tonight. And I want to be a blessing. I appreciate everything. Thank you for everything. Brother Angel and Brother Cole, thank you. And thank you, preachers, for being here. God bless all of you. And I appreciate you tonight. If you take your Bible and turn to the Gospel of John and the 21st chapter, the chapter 21, I'm going to try to read a few verses to you and try to be a blessing. I want to be tonight. I want to be a blessing. And then in the morning I'll fly back home early and get back in tomorrow evening and try to get some visits made when I get home tomorrow night. And then I start a meeting in Mount Airy Monday and Tuesday night of next week. I'll be home and I can drive back and forth, you know. And a church I've never been up there and I'm preaching in next week. So you pray for me when you think about me. If you think about it, I don't want to add more to you. I know you got a lot to pray about. There's lots to pray about. But if you think about me, just pray for me. I need your prayers. And I really do want to do what God wants me to do. And trying to pastor my church, and I say this, I mean it. The Lord has opened up doors, you know, for me to preach, and I don't want to do more than I'm supposed to do because I really believe that God wants me to pastor the Trinity Baptist Church, and I don't want to hurt my church. But then I see such a need, too. And I'm trying to do everything I can. This whole nation's in a mess.
Yes, sir.
You know, we've got more in this country now than we've ever had in every way. I'm talking about in a lot of ways. You know, people are today more educated than they've ever been. Americans, I'm talking about, more educated than they've ever been. You know, we put people walking on the moon and ain't got enough sense to live on the earth.
That's right.
We really have. I mean, we got all the technology. We got all that stuff. But folks, I'll tell you, we're missing the mark with God. And I'd love to see God do something in this old country, bring us back. I really would. I'd like to see this country come back to God. We need it so bad. And we're in a fix. We're in a shape. And, you know, I've never been anything but a Baptist. I don't know what a lot of the other churches are like, but I know Baptists are in a mess, ain't we? And the change and everything's going on today. I tell you what we need, and this one we'll preach on tonight, is what we really need is we need God to visit us. We need God to visit us. We really do. We need God to visit our churches and come down and see real revival. I have a burden to see it. I've seen a touch of it, Brother Coral, and I have. I've seen some. But boy, but once you've tasted it, it's like eating good food. Once you've had a little bit of it, you want some more, don't you? And I want the Lord to do something. And I'm going to preach tonight. You know, God ain't run out of revival. He's just looking for a place to put it. He's just looking for a place to drop it. And sometimes I must confess to you, you know, I've prayed for it sometimes, prayed for it, and it didn't come. And then there's been some times maybe when I wasn't praying as hard, and I've seen God show up in our church and go home shaking my head saying, I don't understand, but the Lord showed up. You know, God showed up. And we just need to get to know Him and in a real good way. And the Lord be in our church. You know, one of the greatest advertising things, you know, today we're into all kinds of things trying to advertise our church. And we're trying to put things on slicker paper and lighted signs and all that. And I'm for all that. That's all good. But you know, the greatest advertisement that a church could have is with the power of God there when people come. That's the greatest advertisement you'll have. I'll tell you what, you won't have to tell nobody if God's there. You won't have to say what's going on. Hey, if God's there, anybody knows it. If God's there, everybody knows it. I'll tell you how I know. In Mark chapter 2, it said, and when Jesus got in that house at Capernaum, it was noised abroad that he was in the house. And they had to start, they couldn't even get in the door. He started letting them down through the roof. And brother, I'm going to tell you, if we just get God on the scene, we'll be all right. Well, let's look at the Bible in John chapter 21, if you'd stand with me. Let me just read a few verses. Beginning with verse 1, it says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael and Cana of Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go fishing. And they say unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. Now I want to read down in verse 14. Now this is the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. It said in verse 1 Jesus showed himself. Then down in verse 2 said he stood on the shore. And then verse 14 says this is the third time that he showed himself. I'm going to preach to you tonight on this thought. What happens when Jesus shows up? When Jesus shows up. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'll help me tonight to be a blessing. Lord, there's been some great preaching done here, Lord, this week. And I've got to hear some of it. And, Lord, but I was thinking tonight when that choir was singing, dear God, about God saving an old sinner. Oh, Lord, I thought about, Lord, how far you reached out to get me. And then, Lord, to even think that you'd put me in the ministry. Oh, I'm just, Lord, I'm still, just can't imagine how good that you've been to me. Now, Lord, tonight, the best I know how, I cast myself on you completely to be used. God, I don't want to say nothing tonight that you wouldn't want said. Jesus, I wouldn't hurt you or your cause. And I wouldn't hurt these people. I wouldn't hurt this dear pastor, anybody, I want to be a blessing. I want to help them. And I pray, God, tonight that you'll help me to do so. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Of course, Jesus had died and was buried and rose again from the dead and spent some time with the disciples about 40 days and nights he had been around. And the disciples, when the Lord announced he's going back and ascending back to the Father and going to prepare a place there in John 14, I think Simon Peter was the leader of the disciple band. And he made an announcement that he was going back to the fishing business. Now, and he's not talking about taking his rod and reel and getting away for a couple hours. He's talking about, look, here's my Strong's Concordance, my Schofield Bible, my wingtip shoes. My library. Boys, I'm getting out of this thing. I'm going back to the fishing business. I'm getting back in the fishing business. And they said, then if you're going, we're going. You know, you'll never quit without taking somebody with you. I was reading about old Achan, what Joshua told the tribe of Manasseh, and them. He told him, he was talking about Achan, and he said, this man perished, but not alone. And brother, when you go down the drain, you'll take somebody with you. And you always remember that. And you get mad, somebody gets mad and leaves a church and gets out of church, they always take somebody who'll follow. And Simon Peter here was the leader of the group, and so when he said, I go fishing, they said, we're going with you. And the whole crowd quit. But if something happened that they didn't that they wasn't counting on, and that was that verse number one said, and after these things, Jesus showed himself. Jesus showed up. And I'm going to tell you, if you're saved, if a man's saved, let me tell you something. You can quit, but I'm going to tell you, one day God's going to show up, and you're going to have to meet him. Amen? You're going to have to face God. And I'm not just talking about the judgment seat. I'm talking about before that, and we are going to all stand before the judgment seat. But I'm just saying, if somebody's really got the call of God on them, and somebody's really saved, then you can't get away with quitting. Amen? You can't quit, you see. You can't go back, because the Lord's going to come and see you about that quitting business. Amen? And so the Lord showed up, and they was all out there on a fishing boat. It wasn't long they lost every conviction they had, and they're out there catching nothing, just drowning worms. Amen? They're just out there doing nothing. They're just out there just fishing, doing nothing, catching nothing, and every conviction they had, they'd lost. And the Lord showed up, and then the Lord Jesus stood on the shore, and he cried out to them from the shore, children, have you any meat? And John looked and he recognized that voice. And I think it's out there so far they really couldn't tell, but John could hear that voice and he recognized that voice. He said, children, have you any meat? And here they are out there laid up on that fishing boat. And they hollered, no. And John got to look and he said, I recognize that voice. And old John, buddy, it light come on. He said, it's the Lord. Hey, when that happened, Simon Peter's laying out there on that boat naked as a jaybird. What the Bible said. It doesn't say jaybird, it says naked. But hey, Brother Coral, you know what I think he done? He grabbed his fisher's coat, it says, and jumped. Hey, listen, I believe he jumped in the water trying to get dressed. In the water. He wanted to cover himself up. He said, it's the Lord. And brother, I'm telling you, business picked up then. When he said, it's the Lord, everybody was trying to get in line. He said, cast the net on the right side. And when they did, in other words, he was saying this, get right with God and everything will get better. And what happened when they threw the nets on the right side of the boat and they started dragging it in? They couldn't hardly move it for the fish. And brother, let me tell you something. You know what Jesus did? Listen, they don't say anything about him fishing, but when they got in there, he already had fish cooked up. Preacher, now down in the South when they fix fish, I can picture it right now. Hey, there's hush puppies with it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Hush puppies and slaw. Hey, I can just see all that there on the shore right there. Hush puppies, slaw, fish. And the Lord called them in. And listen, you know what? If it had been me and all that crowd, I'd have chewed every one of them out. Said, you bunch of backsliders. I couldn't be gone but a little bit. You've done quit. But you know what? Jesus didn't do that. Preacher, he didn't do that. He didn't get on them. Listen, and I believe they might have been braced up for it and thought, oh man, what's he going to say when we get... And you know what he said? He said, come and die. Come on. And he said, and you know what he did? He served them and fed them. But he was working his way around to the one that caused it all, wasn't he? Hey, he was making his way around. Now, let me show you something here. But the Lord Jesus Christ, and then down in verse 14, in verse 1 and 4, and then down in verse 14, it says this is the third time that he showed himself. You know what this, folks, I don't know about you, but I'm just saying tonight, I want him to show up. You know what? If God shows up, I'm telling you that everything will get in line. Look here, he showed up and everything got straightened out. Hey, do you know something? And when Jesus shows up, it'll all get straightened out. When he gets, hey, I'm going to tell you something else. You say, when's America going to get straightened out? I'll tell you when it's going to get straightened out. When Jesus shows up. Amen? You wait till he shows up, brother, one of these days and see if this bunch don't get straightened out. I'll tell you what. Hey, I'm headed for a land that's fairer than day. When he steps out in the clouds and the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ rise first and then we which are alive and remain be caught up together. And I want to be in that crowd that's alive and remain too, don't you? And we go up to meet the Lord. If I understand anything right, Brother Angel, we're going to the judgment seat of Christ and then to the marriage supper. And then we're going to mount up and we're coming back. If you think he ain't going to straighten up stuff. Amen. He'll straighten out all this junk going on down here for sure. But let me tell you, we need him to show up now. You see, let me show you some things when Jesus shows up. I want to show you what takes place. Number one, when Jesus shows up, fishing will pick up. Amen? Hey, look at verse number 3. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto them, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto the children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast a net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Hey, when he got there, the fish started biting, didn't they? Hey, you know something else? Hey, the best thing in the world to help a soul winning program is get God into place. Hey, if you get people in love with Christ, you won't have to beg people to go soul winning. I'm telling you right now, brother, we can train people, and I'm for all that. Hey, I'm for training them, setting them down, teaching them how to go up to the door and how to have their New Testament and their tracts and how to introduce themselves and all. Hey, all that's good, but I'm going to tell you something. Brother, you'll quit that if all you got's a good form. But I'll tell you what it is. If you get Jesus Christ where you're in love with Him, you can't help but talk about it. You can't help it. Hey, you know what it is? And fishing will pick up. Hey, I'm talking about it'll pick up because you're in love with the one that you're fishing for. You won't come in as easy. Hey, when they ain't biting, you'll keep going. Amen? Hey, you know what? It'll pick up. Why? You're in love with the one you're talking about. Brother Fugate was talking about that this morning. I said, I know what he's talking about. When he was talking about now, he's got a grandchild. Hey, we got five of them. And I used to see the same thing. I'd see them signs on the front of people's cars, let me tell you about my grandchildren. I thought, well, that's somebody crazy in that car there. Till you get some grandchildren, then it makes a big difference. Hey, you know something is, when you get in love with Christ, it makes a big difference about you talking about Him. It makes a big difference. When you're in love with Him, you'll talk about Him. Hey, you'll talk down there at the filling station about Him. Fishing will pick up when Jesus shows up. I'm telling you right now, you'll talk to people about Christ. Why? You're in love with Him. Every problem that a Baptist church has got can be solved by one thing if you get in love with Him. Hey, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Remember what he told the church of Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2? He commended them. He commended them for them being fundamental. But he condemned them from being fallen. He said, remember from whence thou art fallen. He said, you've left your first love. Hey, you know what? When you're in love, it makes a difference. I tell you, when you're in love, even husbands and wives. Hey, here's some man out here meets a young lady and they fall in love. And listen, I mean, he can't wait to see her. He can't wait to call her. He can't wait. I remember when back yonder, when my sweetheart back there in high school, she went to Indiana for the summer. Back in them days, there wasn't no cell phones. There wasn't no anything like that. And if I'd have got on a phone and run up a phone bill, my daddy, if she'd have come back and visited my grave, bless God, they'd have killed me. But I'd write her. You know, I'd write her letters. And she'd write me. And I went to the post office every day. The post office about a mile and a half away. And I'd get off of the farm and run down the road down to the post office and go in and ask for the mail, our family. And they'd give me the mail out of a little old mail place there. They just had it in a rubber band around your mail and hand it to you out a little window if you asked. They knowed everybody in town. And, hey, I wasn't looking for the bills. I wasn't looking for any kind of bill. I didn't care about the bills. I didn't have to pay them. Amen. Hey, I wasn't looking for the grit. I wasn't looking for Montgomery Ward. I wasn't looking for nothing. Hey, you know what I was looking for? I was looking for one thing, a letter from up in Indiana from the one I loved. Brother, when I got that letter, hey, I looked on, I examined the envelope. I looked all over it, and I looked to see if there's any little smiley faces on it or little hearts on it with an arrow through it or whatever. Hey, I read, brother, intensely every word, and I'd read it again. I'd run up the road till I give out of breath, and then I'd stop and pull it out of my pocket, and I'd read it again. You know why? I was in love. And I told everybody I've seen about who my sweetheart was. I carried a picture. I showed everybody the picture. You know something? Hey, that's the way it is when you get in love with Him. You can't help it. Let me tell you something. You know what you do? You go to talking to somebody you can't help but think about. You'll start automatically reaching for a gospel tract to give somebody to tell them about the one that means something to you. See, fishing will pick up. When Jesus shows up and we get in love with Him, then let me say this right here. Not only will fishing pick up. Hey, everybody in this room ought to be his personal soul winner. And we've heard Brother Gilman hit it last night, some others hit it, but everybody ought to carry tracks on you. Hey, this independent Baptist thing, we need to go back to our roots and get back to winning souls. Hey, all this slick willy stuff. Hey, I'm going to tell y'all something. What got us where we are is what we ought to go back to. Hey, I mean, listen, hey, I ain't all this electrical stuff and all this iPads and iPods and these things. Some of them's preaching off some of these things now. Lord have mercy. I ain't never mashed a button on one. Hey, you ought to see my outlines and try to figure out how to put this mess I got up here on one of them boards. Hey, let me tell you something. We need to get back, brother, to getting the power of God and getting a burden for sinners and getting our heart broke over people that's lost and on their way to hell and get busy about this matter of soul winning. Fishing needs to pick up. And if you get back with God and get Jesus in your life where you're in love with Him, you'll get busy about this. We need some people to get burdened about it. Amen. Now let me say this. Not only that, when Jesus shows up, fishing will pick up, but fashions will change. Hey, you think? Hey, let me tell you something. Fashions will change. Oh, Simon Peter, listen. Hey, look at verse number 7. Therefore that disciple, John, whom Jesus loved, saith Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. That's where I got that him getting dressed under the water. He was jumped in the water, buddy, trying to get that coat on. That was a chore. Keep from drowning trying to get dressed too. Hey, but you know what? Hey, he got convicted about the way he was dressed when God showed up. And it's a shame. And listen, I know we got new converts, and I wouldn't hurt you for nothing in the world. But folks, it's a shame today in Baptist church about the fashions of things. Hey, people ain't got no convictions. Preacher, about nothing. I'm talking about come in with shorts and flip-flops and listen, this, hey, all this casual stuff. Now, I'm just being honest with you. I believe we ought to get back where we look like we got God on us. Hey, man. Hey, we ought to look like, listen, for saved, going to heaven, we ought to look like. Hey, man. Hey, fashions have changed. And what it is today, we're afraid if we say anything about looking right and dressing right. But you know what? You get God in a place like this church is here, people look right, and then the ones that comes in and gets right with God or trying to get right with God, they'll see what they ought to look like. You see what I'm trying to say? You get Jesus in the place. man down that way, listen, they're trying to just do anything to just get people to, you know, just as long as they just come. Now, I'm for getting people to come. We got them comes on buses. I've had them come in barefooted and every way in the world, and I love them, and God bless you. Listen, I ain't going to run nobody off about that kind of stuff. I'll help them. I bought shoes and clothes and carried clothes to people, and I'm going to do it. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about just old flat don't care. I mean, just dressing any which way and trying to look like the world. Listen, brother, we ought to look like we're saved. We ought to look like we're going somewhere. Amen. Hey, you know what? When Jesus shows up, there won't be no problem with it. Fashions will change, won't it? Hey, you know what? I got saved. Listen, when I got saved, I wanted to look like my preacher looked. I wanted to look like the rest of them down there. Look, of course, back there in 1969, of course, there's some of the old hippies back then, you know. But my daddy, hey, my daddy was lost as he could be. But I'll tell you one thing, he didn't allow us to look like the hippies. Hey, because he was an old redneck, mountain man. Hey, he didn't look that way. He'd have cut our hair with a pocket knife. And I, matter of fact, I heard him threaten it to my brother. I never did have no long hair, but that's the way my daddy was. He was an old coal miner, you know, roughing a cob. But what I'm saying, when I got saved, I wanted to be like my preacher. When Jesus shows up, listen, fashions change. Let me give you something else. Romans 12, 1 and 2, some more verses for that. Amen? Oh, yeah. He said we're not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That's what he said. Now, let me give you something else. Hey, your faith will affect your walk. What you look? Hey, you say, well, I don't know about all that. What about that old maniac of Gadara? Brother, let me tell you something. When he got saved, let me tell you something. And the town people come out there to see him. The Bible said he was seated at the feet of Jesus, clothed, and in his right mind. Hey, I'm going to tell y'all something. All this demon possession, this crowd wanting to pull all their clothes off. I believe that with all my heart. You think whatever you want to think about that. And I know that goes over like a lead balloon, but I believe that. Hey, I believe that with all my heart. Oh, let me, I can tell you some stories. I ain't going to take time. But I'm just saying, when the Lord gets on the scene, that's what I'm trying to say. Hey, when Jesus shows up, fashions will change. Hey, let me give you something else. When Jesus shows up, faith in God will increase. Look at verse 5. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? And they said, they answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast a net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and he cast himself into the sea. And the other disciple came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were, 200 cubits dragging the net with fishes. You know what they had to do, though? They had to believe what he said and take them nets and cast them on the right side of the boat. You know, when Jesus shows up, though, faith in God will increase when the Lord gets there. You know, we was trying to build a gymnasium. When I came to Trinity Baptist Church 29 years ago, we had a little old bitty building there. Brother Coral, you've preached in it. Brother Angel, you've seen it there. It's just a little old bitty building. Wouldn't seat about 200 people. And they owed $331,000. Well, I stayed till we paid that off, and then we built another building. Built an auditorium. Well, we needed a gym and some Sunday school classes. And I'd done borrowed money from the bank. And I'm not much of a businessman. I mean, I've just never been one that done a lot of dealings in, you know, in banks and that kind of thing. So I just called the bank one morning. I told the deacons we need to build a gym at a church. We voted on it to build one. And it was going to cost $1 million. It was going to be $1 million. And I'll never forget being in the office there with Miss Sandy, our financial secretary. And I said, Sandy, I said, we need to call the bank and let them know we need that $1 million. She said, well, in our bank, we owed them a little bit of money, but not much. And I said, get the loan people on the phone and let me talk to them. So she called and they put me through. And I said, this is Brother Cox. And I said, we've been banking with you all tonight. I said, listen, I just want to call and tell you, we need $1 million up here. And he got real quiet on the other end of the phone, you know. She said, well, Brother Cox, that's a lot of money. I said, yeah, I know it. That's why I'm calling you. I said, we ain't a bank up here, but we need we need $1 million. We're going to build this gym. And this is exactly why I said, I don't know why. I said, I just wanted to call and see if y'all wanted to get in on it. I said, I prayed about it, and God showed me that we're supposed to build it, and I want to build it, the gym. And so she called me back in a day or two and said, we're not going to be able to do it. We're getting ready to merge with another bank, and they're not going to be able to do it. And so it just looked like things was falling through. But we had prayer meetings, and I just got peace from God that we're supposed to build that gym. But I'm being honest with you, I got a little bit down about it. I got a little bit down. And one Monday morning, I told my wife, I said, boy, I'd like to get the money to build that gym, but I don't know. I said, if God's in it or not, just like that, when I already told everybody God was in it and we was going to build it. You know how you get, about half backslid. I mean, I was just down and defeated about the thing. And my wife she's not the kind of lady you'd like to have come in for a speaker. She's real quiet, don't say a whole bunch, but we was in the car there, and back and I was going to go to the hospital to make visit. And I just said something like, well, I thought God was in it. She said, you know what you need? She said to me. And I said, what? She said, you need some faith in God. Well, there's nothing worse than when you're about half backslid for a spiritual woman to tell you what you need. Amen. Oh, preacher, I didn't want to hear. I didn't say a word. But we went right up the road to the gas station and pulled in. We had to get some gas. And I got out. And I got out of the car, and I started pumping gas in the car. And then here come this little car running right through the parking lot, and this guy just rolled the window down. He said, hey, buddy, can you tell me how to get to Concord, North Carolina? I said, yeah. I said, just get on this road you was on and just go south and hit 85 down there, and it'll take you right into Concord. He said, I sure appreciate that. Thank you. And he said, let me give you something. And I mean, he was just in a big hurry, and he put something in my hand, and he shot the gas to it, and off he went. And I looked at what he put in my hand, and you know these little old magnets like you stick on the side of a refrigerator or a file cabinet or something? And it said, Mark 11:22, have faith in God. Well, my wife had went in the store to get a coffee. Well, about the time he gave me that, and I was standing there looking at it, she seen him give it to me, and I looked at it like it. Here she comes. She saw him give it to me. And she said, who's that man? I said, I don't know. She said, did he give you something? I said, yeah. She said, what did he give you? And I said, he gave me a magnet. A magnet? And I said, yeah, a magnet. Give me a magnet. She said, what kind of magnet? And I just took it, Brother Angel, and went like that. She said, have faith in God. She said, She said, looks like Jesus is trying to tell you something. You know what he's trying to tell me? When Jesus shows up, faith will pick up. Faith in God will pick up. You know what we need? We need God. Hey, and by the way, the just shall live by faith. Hey, and if it's not of faith, God ain't in it. He's a God of faith. We got to trust Him. And if it's not of faith, God's not in it. Amen? It's impossible to please God without faith. Oh, I've seen God do so many things and watched God answer prayers and seen God meet needs at our place when it looked like, man, it was going right down to the wire. And it just looked like it. And then God come through and take care of us. And I want to just say this. He's wonderful. The Lord's wonderful. And God's met every need. And I'm saying tonight what we need to do is just trust Him. Hey, only trust Him. But you know what? Jesus needs to show up. Oh, listen, you know what will happen when He shows up? Faith in God will increase. Let me give you something else. When Jesus shows up, there'll be a fire burning. Amen. Look at verse number 9. Hey, you know what we need? As soon as they were come, verse 9, as soon then as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. Boy, you can't beat that when you got fire and fish. Amen. Oh, let me tell you something. Hey, you know what though? You know what we need? Listen, I mean this. If a church is dead, let me tell you something it needs. It needs to start exalting Jesus Christ. You know why? Here's what He said, Brother Coral. John 12:32. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And you know what it is? When you start exalting Him, I'll tell you what. Tonight when the youth choir tonight was singing that song about Jesus saving sinners, Bud Davis, a breeze from another land got over in that chair. Hey, I'm going to tell you, I could feel God coming in over on me. Hey, you know what it was? They're singing about Him. Hey, you see what I'm saying? Hey, I'm going to tell you right now, in that old hymn book, that hymn book you got right there, that blue one and that gray one, has got the right songs in it. They're songs about Him. And when you start honoring Him in songs, hey, in sermons, in Sunday school, hey, I'm talking about everything we do ought to be about Him. We ought to exalt Him. Exalt Him. And you know what happens is when you do, guess what happens? Fire starts coming. That's where then the fire starts coming. Hey, when you get Him there. Hey, I'll tell you why some of these old churches are so dead. You could skate down the aisles. It's a cold. Amen. And listen, it's pitiful how dead some of them gets. I'm going to tell you something, brother. We need to start exalting the Lord Jesus Christ in our sermons and start exalting Him, listen, in soul winning, exalting Him in our song and our choir and everything. I mean youth groups. Hey, and today, listen, you know what the world's trying to do? They're trying to get the world and take Jesus out of it and put that in there. To so the world feel good about coming into a worldly thing. But if you get Jesus in there, you know what will happen is? It'll draw people to Christ. Amen. You see what I'm saying? And there'll be fire. Listen, there'll be fire. There'll be power. When I'm talking about fire, I'm talking about there'll be some power of God there. Amen? There'll be some power of God there, see? But exalting Him, there'll be fire. There'll be fire in the pulpit. There'll be fire in the Sunday school. There'll be fire in the junior churches. There'll be fire in the teen department. There'll be fire in everything you do. It. You see, I'm talking about there'll be an unction. There'll be the power of God. And listen, if they ain't no Jesus, they ain't no power. Huh? Because He said, all power is given unto Me in heaven and earth. Brother, you try to plug into something else and it'll be dead. Hey, when it becomes about me, it'll die. When it becomes about somebody else, or it becomes about we get off focus and get out of something else, listen, the fire will die. It'll die when you see. And we need Him. It said Jesus, when He showed up, it won't be dead and cold. There'll be fire. Our churches need fire. See? Hey, that's what I'm trying to say. Then let me say this. When Jesus shows up, there'll be food. Hey, look at verse 9. You know, people get fed. When Jesus shows up, look at verse 9. They was fire and they was fish. Praise God, they was something to eat. Now I know this is pretty shallow, but it's a little deeper than you might think too. You can think about it. Hey, you know what? Jesus knows this. I'm trying to show you that we need to have Him in everything we do. That's what I'm trying to tell you. There'll be food. People won't starve on Jesus. They won't go hungry on Jesus. Amen? Oh, let me tell you. Listen, and they want to get something else. So, well, I just ain't getting fed. Let me tell you, where Jesus Christ is preached and honored, let me tell you, there's something wrong if you ain't getting fed. Amen? There's something wrong. Hey, there'll be food, you see. You preach. Hey, you know how I know this? Hey, listen, He is the Word of God, and you eat His Word, you'll live. You eat His Word. You preach Christ and you preach the Word of God and you preach about Jesus Christ. And I tell you what, there'll be food. Ain't nobody going to starve to death. I tell our church down there, now I can't preach sermons where it would be considered a steak. But I'm going to tell you something. I never seen a steak until I was grown. Wheat, pinto beans and cornbread and fried potatoes and onions. Amen. That's what we lived on. And buttermilk. So I never seen a steak, but I'll tell you what, I made it good till I could get to one off of that. And I'm going to tell you, hey, my preaching might not be the best, but I'm going to do my very best to exalt Jesus Christ. Hey, and I'll tell you something, if people will take in Jesus, let me tell you what they will do. They won't starve. You ain't going to starve on Jesus. There'll be food. Let me give you something else. Hey, when Jesus shows up, your focus will be renewed. You know why we get all out of focus? We lose sight of Christ. You know why Peter said, I go a-fishing and went back down there and got on a fishing boat and them guys all throwed their Bibles and commentaries and all their stuff and they just said, yeah, well, there it is. Put it in the yard sale. Put all this in the yard sale. Yeah, we don't need it no more. We're going back into the fishing business. We quit this preaching stuff. We quit this soul winning stuff. We're out of this. You know what happened to them? They got out of focus. They lost focus. You got to keep Him in view. You got to keep Him in view. Let me tell you something. You keep Jesus in view, you won't get too far offshore. You won't get too far offshore if you keep Jesus Christ in view, that He's the center of everything you do. Get your focus. Hey, people gets out of focus. Hey, you know what? Remember that old boy, Jesus touched his eyes and he asked him, he said, how do you see now? He's blind. He said, I see men walking as trees. He touched him again. He said, I see all men clearly now. You know what we need? We need Jesus to touch us. We need the Lord Jesus Christ touch on us. Hey, you know what will happen is when you do, you'll get focused right. When you get focused right, you'll be doing right. You'll get in the right thing. You'll be chasing sinners. See, when your focus is right, you won't get out there in left field somewhere. Listen, because Jesus said, I come to seek and to save that which is lost. He said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Well, as long as you're following Him, I tell you, that's what He's doing. He's saving sinners. And if you're following Him, your focus will be right. Hey, when you get off over here on trying to do your own deal, brother, ain't no telling where you're going to wound up. Hey, you know what? He said, I'm the light of the world. Brother, I want to walk where the light's at. Brother, you get out in the darkness and you're off away from Jesus Christ, you're going to stumble. There's no telling where you're going. Stay close to the light. Amen? Hey, when Jesus shows up, focus will be renewed. You get your focus right. Hey, I've always tried to come back. If something starts getting out a little bit, get back over where you know you need to be. Watch things. Brother, that's the reason for the lines on the road, to keep you in your lane. Do you know that? Hey, I'm going to tell you, you're in danger when you get across that center line. And I'm going to tell you what, as God's people, brother, let me tell you something. If we'll stay right in our lane and keep our eyes on Him, let me tell you, He ain't going to run off the road. You stay right with Him, you keep your eyes on Him, you get your eyes on Jesus Christ, He's not going to lead you off here in some wacky doctrine. You ain't going to be no Calvinist. You ain't going to be no Calvinist. Somebody said, well, I'm a Calvinist, but he loves God. No, he don't either. He's messed up. Jesus Christ, you read the New Testament, He's leading, He's saving sinners everywhere. He wasn't no Calvinist. Hey, and you ain't going to get off out here. Hey, let me tell you something. It took me 12 years and 2 summers to finish school. But I'm going to tell you something. I got more sense than that. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to follow the one I'm supposed to be following. You ain't going to get in trouble following Him. He ain't going to lead you astray. You ain't going to get off on something. And let me tell you something. You'll stay focused. You'll keep your buses running. You'll keep your soul winning program going. You'll keep your music old fashioned. You'll keep your standards and you'll keep things the old time way. Amen? Oh yeah, I want to stay the old time way. Well, how do you do it? You stay following Jesus. You stay focused, you see. Well, let me tell you something. Let me give you something else here. When Jesus shows up, fault finding will be over with. Hey, you know what? We won't be finding fault with each other. You know what? When He shows up, brother, and we stand beside Him, we'll see our own self. Boy, the closer you get to Him, you get a good look at yourself. Fault finding will be over with. That's in verses 14 through 22 there. You see, look at it, verse 14. Now this third time Jesus showed Himself to His disciples after that He was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said, saith unto him, feed my lambs. And He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto thee, feed my sheep. And He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. See? Now, let me tell you something. When Jesus gets around us, we won't be looking at somebody else to find out what's wrong with them. Folks, listen to me tonight. I just want to say this, preachers. I'm being honest. I'm just being as honest as I know how to be. I have so much problems with me, keeping me in line. Hey, Brother Carl, ain't no way I got time to try to find fault with Dennis Carl. Buddy, I tell you, I'm such a mess trying to keep myself straight all the time that I'm full-time piece of work. I'm trying to keep me in line. You see what I'm trying to say? Hey, and God didn't call me to be the police. Hey, you know what I'm going to try to do? I'm going to try to walk with Him and keep myself right. And listen, let everybody else take care of their self. Now, if I pastor people and they listen, they come in and say, "Preacher, can you help me?" I'm going to help them. But I'm going to tell you, God didn't call me, listen, to go find fault with everybody. And everybody's church and all that kind of stuff. Amen. Folks, listen, I don't have time for all that. I ain't got enough sense straightening out if I had the time. I ain't got enough sense straightening all that out. That ain't what God called me to do. He called me to preach truth to whoever shows up. Amen? Fault find. Oh, listen, we ain't careful. We're just looking at every little thing about everybody. And he didn't just do his song service the way we do ours there. And he didn't just do... Now, hey, I ain't talking about contemporary music. Hey, now, I ain't talking about that. I'm going to shoot at that stuff. We ain't going to have it at our place. It ain't going to be there. It is not going to be at our place. I told our people, listen, it ain't going to happen there. It's not going to. Amen. It just ain't going to happen. There ain't going to be no vote. They can vote me out and get rid of me, but if they want to, but they ain't going to be no music as long as I'm the pastor there. And I ain't going to let a bunch of worldly junk go. That's what I'm talking about. But I've got to try to keep my outfit straight down there, man. I can't try to straighten out everybody else across the country. Now, you can do the best you can with what I just said, but that's the truth. And you'll be a whole lot happier if you just take care of your deal you got. Amen? Well, I don't know if this is helping or not, but I sure am trying. Fault finding, all that kind of stuff. Oh, listen, brother, let me tell you something. Then failure will be forgotten about. Hey, you know what? Peter failed, didn't he? But when Jesus shows up, you know what we'll do? Listen, failure will be forgotten about. You know what? We can confess it to him. Hey, you know what? And Jesus knows how to do it. Brother Angel, this gets me here, but Jesus, he didn't go over and said, "Peter, I'm going to tell you something, buddy. You made a mess. I mean, you took every one of these men out here and got them backslid and out here." He didn't do that. You know what he did? I think after the 80 walked over there, and he said, "Peter, I'd like to ask you a question." "Well, yes, Lord. Do you love me more than you love these?" I ain't sure who these was. Whether it was the fishing gear and the boat and all that, or the other disciple, what? But he said, "Lovest thou me more than these?" Hey, do you know what? If you'd have took a knife and stuck it in the chest of old Peter and turned it, he wouldn't have heard about that. He knew where he was going with that thing. You know what he was saying? "You don't love me like you ought to love me." And that's the whole problem. Folks, here's the thing we ought to do, is stay in love with him. And if you're not careful, the world's doing this to you constantly, winking at you, doing this right here. Hey, do you know something? I thank God, Brother Angel, this fall, I've been married 40 years. But I'm going to tell you something. You know something you got to do? You got to keep your blinds on and stay focused. Listen, with Jesus, to stay in love with him, because the world's constantly saying, "Come over here." They hollered for Demas and he took off, didn't he? They hollered for him, and old Demas, Paul said, "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." And folks, let me tell you, the world can sure got a lot of glitter on it. And if you're not careful, you'll leave him and go off way over there chasing something that ain't worth a nickel. It don't matter. Hey, when the smoke settles, the only thing that's going to make any difference is that we loved him. That's all that's going to matter. And he asked Peter three times. And the third time he asked him, he said, "Thou knowest all things." You know, tonight he knows if I love him, don't he? I heard Curtis Hudson say one time that he read where Charles Spurgeon said that he'd like to pray and said, "Jesus, I love you." And that Jesus would say back, "I know you do, Charles." You know what? I want him to know I love him. I want him to know I love him. Folks, listen, it's a shame that on Saturdays, I get out on my bus route a lot of time on Saturdays. You know who I run into? I don't ever run into a Baptist out there. You know who I run into? Jehovah Witnesses. Hey, last Saturday, I'll tell you what I did last Saturday. I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to close out here in a minute. Last Saturday, my old truck was broke down. I visited a truck. And I had this new man with me. He was going soul with it. He just got right with God, and he's going to go with me. And I got an old 86 Ford pickup. And I was going to take it visiting. And the brakes was out. And a man in my church was fixing. He called. He said, "Preacher, I ain't done with your truck." Well, my wife and this other lady, they done left to start out on the route. And here I was, you know. Our church, a few months ago, bought a police car with lights. I'm talking about lights on it and everything for security around the school to keep some idiot from coming in and shooting up the place, you know. And so we set it out there in the front. And I said, come on, Lou. I said, I got some keys to that police car. We'll take that police car, bless God, on the bus route. We got in that thing, brother, and we took off. Hey, listen, we didn't have to knock on doors. Hey, when we pulled up, they come out. You pull up, hey, people's coming out on their porches looking. You pull up in front of somebody, there's people. Hey, I said, man, this is great. I said, I'm going to start visiting on this every week. You don't have to knock doors. They's coming out on the porches. I'm telling you the honest before God truth that the second visit I made, that I pulled up in front of these people's house and got out and started walking to the door, and they wasn't out of the bed. We couldn't get them up. And so we come back towards the car, and there was three black ladies standing over there in the yard just looking at that house. And Lou, this is his first time around, big old guy, 300-pound, great big man. He said, we're not the police. Just like that. And I started walking on over. I said, I'm going to go over and talk to them. This one woman had a girl about 20 years old been causing her a bunch of trouble, you know. She said, well, I was hoping you was the police. I said, what do you need? She said, I got a daughter in here raising all kind of sand on dope and drinking, staying out all night. I was hoping you was police. I said, where's she at? She said, in the bed. I said, go get her out to bed. I said, bring her out here. Hey, Brother Smith, before the Lord, he went and knocked about 10 minutes. I said, y'all sit down here on the front porch. I just got my Bible, got in the front yard, and stood up there and preached the gospel. Listen, had four of them saved. I'm telling you, that police car, hey, I went to another place, had two more saved. I said, man, this police deal's working good. Amen. Hey, listen. I'm saying, though, we need God to show up. Amen. I went down to the mission. I pulled up a bunch of old guys down there in front of the mission. They said, here's the police. Here's the police. I got out and started. They said, what police are you with? I said, God's police. I'm God's sheriff. I come to get you. Amen. Hey, you know what we need? Listen, we need the Lord to show up. We need God to show up. Listen to what I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to be done here. You know what would it? Hey, but listen, I'm talking about when we fail, it'll be forgotten. You know what it is? That the Lord forgave Peter. But here's what he did. He said, Peter, go back and do what I told you. Feed my lambs. Get back to doing what you're supposed to do. Hey, you know what the Lord told me in the book of Ephesus there in Revelation, the church of Ephesus? He said, remember from when thou art fallen and return back to your first works. Remember when you love God. He said, you remember when you loved me? Hey, folks, listen. Let me tell you something. Brother Coral, way back in the early days, I got saved, and I had never been to any conferences or anything. And I'd go and listen to people preach. And I'll be honest, I'd cry so hard during the preaching. It'd get to me so bad, sometimes I'd get embarrassed that God was working me over. And I was getting so blessed, I'd just sit and weep. You know what? Because I loved Him so much, I wanted to please Him. And everybody preached something like that because it was right to me. But you know what happens if you're not careful? After a while, you get to where you drift away from that love. You know why? Because, listen, what we do, there's a time when that old book right there meant so much to you. Boy, we'd carry that old book and read it and devour it and ask the pastor questions, get a hold of every CD you could, come to a conference like this, get every book Brother Carl's got and try to read them and kind of a CD and tape and preaching and music tape. And brother, we're just in love with Him. But you know what? If we're not careful, we'll be like Him disciples. We'll get in a boat going the other direction. And we'll drift from the shore. Hey, listen. When Jesus shows up, let me tell you something. Fascination will never cease. I've been saved 44 years. It's still fascinating to me to see what He does. Boy, I thank God, listen, folks, that I'm saved. Hey, let me tell you what we need tonight. We ought to just say, Lord, do you have fellowship with Him? Do you walk with Him and talk with Him? Do you spend time with Him? Folks, this is the busiest days it's ever been. As preachers, if we're not careful, fellas, we'll get so busy in administration and doing things and trying to pastor the church and even traveling and everything. You get so busy, your prayer life will fall completely apart. And you know what it is? The Lord's way off somewhere in the distance. You see what I'm trying to say to you tonight? Hey, you know what we need? We need the Lord to show up.
Amen.
Hey, I'm going to tell you something. I'm closing with this right here. 2 weeks ago on a Sunday night, Brother Angel in our church, our choir was singing, and I leaned over to old Ronnie Hunt sitting there, Brother Corbin, beside me, and I said, Ronnie, he's here. He said, I know it. Brother Smith, I could sense. I said, God's here. That choir was singing, How Great Thou Art. Listen, I've seen tears rolling down people's face. I said, He's here. Then I said, after they sung, now I was ready to preach. I was ready. I had a message ready to go. I even knew what I was going to preach. I was ready to preach that night. And you know what? I said, I want the youth choir to come up here and sing. And our youth choir got up there and they got to singing. Now listen. Hey, I wasn't just trying to work something up. I'm telling you, he was there. And listen, preacher, they, some people got up and come to the altar. They wasn't anybody preached a word yet. Hey, was a girl got saved. And listen, God was in there. His conviction was in there. They was people coming and getting some things right. They was an old boy, been out of fellowship, come, got in the altar, started getting things right. Hey, I wasn't preaching, but he was. I didn't have to say nothing. Hey, I was just watching it. And you know what? About 2 hours later, about 9:15, there was people standing up saying, Preacher, I just thank God tonight I'm saved. And testimonies all through the building there. People weeping. People weeping through there. And you know what? About 2 hours and 15 minutes later, I said, well, folks, if listen, everybody's through and you believe you did tonight what God wants you to do, we're going to have a word of prayer and we're going to leave. I never did preach. You know what? The big preacher showed up. When he showed up, listen, you know what I'm saying? When he shows up, now he'll show up when you're preaching too. But what I'm trying to say is, sometimes he showed up, he just said, I just want to show myself tonight. You know, the Bible said the eyes of the Lord run to and fro through the earth, don't it? I believe sometimes God says, you know, I'd like to just flex my muscles tonight. Brother Darrell, you sit down over there and be quiet and you just let that choir praise me some and get up and sing some and have a good special and exalt Christ. And then you want to do, and then you'll see, listen, God began to move. Now that's what happened that night. You can't duplicate it. It might be sometime He wants you to preach about Jesus. And then the next time, He'll come in there then. The main thing is just this, Brother Smith, that He shows up. That He shows up. Oh, when He shows up, listen. All of it will get straightened out. Folks, let me tell you something. One of these days, He's going to show up in the clouds. Amen? And the voice of the archangel is going to sound in the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with the Lord to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And He said, comfort one another with these words. Hey, I'm looking for Him. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Hey, I'm looking for Him. I think we're right on the threshold of the coming of Jesus Christ. Hey, it's exciting to me. Hey, I'll be honest with you. I believe, brother, I don't know when He's coming, but I'm going to tell you something. I think I could be living when He comes. I'll be honest with you. I'll be disappointed if I die. Amen. I mean, I know where I'm going, but I'll be honest. I'd say, well, man, I thought Paul thought he would too, but I tell you, I'm really getting close, I believe, don't you? I believe He's coming. Let me tell you something. But one day He'll show up and it'll all get straightened out. But I want Him to show up at my church. I want Him to show up here. I want Him to show up at the Revival Fires meeting. I like to get reports. God knows. I like to hear people all over the country say, boy, preacher, God's blessing our church and God's there and revival's come. There ain't a jealous bone in my body. Matter of fact, it hurts me when I hear somebody says, well, boy, this thing's is dead. I want to hear, brother, listen, I like to hear it. I like to hear about it getting out of the banks, don't you? I like to hear about God doing something all over the place. I really do. I mean that with all my heart. Listen, I'm just saying tonight, well, what can we do to get Him to show up? I'm through, but listen to this. First, you can invite Him to show up. Hey, pray and spend time with Him. Ask Him to come. Invite Him to come. Hey, then the next thing is, fix what He likes to get Him to show up. You know what? Hey, we ought to fix the kind of music and the kind of services that make Him show up. Then walk with Him. Take Him with you when you go. Amen? But I want the Lord to show up in my life. Hey, then do what He likes. If I go to leading sinners to Christ, let me tell you something. He'll come. He'll show up. Why? Because He come to seek and to save that which is lost. I want the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, to show up at our place. I'd like for people to say, boy, I'll tell you one thing. God's down at that place. He's in that place. He's there. I want our children to know. You know, isn't it terrible, Brother Angel, it's going to be where little kids will say, well, I ain't ever seen anybody. I ain't ever seen a service where the glory of God come down. Boy, I like it when it's like that. Don't you? I like it when the Lord shows up. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Hey, let me ask you something tonight. Folks, listen, is the Lord showing up in your life? When Jesus shows up, heads bowed, eyes closed. I wonder how many people said, preacher, I really do. Listen, there was a time when He walked with me and talked with me. There was a time, listen, when I was plugged in with Him and I knew, listen, that I had God's touch on my life. Preacher, listen, I need it now. I need the Lord to show up. There's some times, listen, in my life. I want God to be real in my life. Why don't you do this tonight? Let's just do this. Won't you just use this old altar as the instruments play tonight? Listen, let's get up out of your seat and just come right now. This is the last night. Won't we pray for our churches and pray for God to not let us forget what we heard here? For God to not let us forget what we've heard. Would you come? Would you come? Come on, folks, we're going to pray. God bless you. That's right. God bless you. God bless you. Come on, we're going to pray. We're going to pray. Come on, would you like to join us? You got family members that's lost, and you want the Lord to save them before Jesus shows up? Come pray for them tonight. You got prayer burdens tonight? Won't you come and say, Lord, I need you to show up. Lord, show up in our church services. Lord, show up in our meetings. God, show up. We're going to pray. Just spend the time there for a minute. We'll pray. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to turn it over to the pastor. Lord Jesus, I did the best I could tonight, Lord, to try to exalt You. I wished I had a better demeanor about me, Lord, to do it with in a better way. Jesus, I love You tonight. I want to please You. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, we'd all get thirsty. You said, I'll pour water on him that's thirsty and floods on the dry ground. Lord, might we get thirsty for God to be in our midst. And I know, Lord, You said You'd never leave us nor forsake us. I realize You're with us. But Lord, I'm talking about that presence of God. Lord, tonight, I pray for this meeting that, Lord, all these messages that's been preached all week long, that You'd take them and, Lord, wrap them up and put them in our heart, that we wouldn't forget what we heard. And, Lord, that we leave here, Lord, rejoicing. And leave here, Lord, excited. And leave here in love with Jesus. And leave here, Lord, excited about winning others to Christ. Lord, please help us to love You like we're supposed to. Lord, I want You to help me, Lord, to be a blessing to people. And, Lord, to talk to people more about You and introduce people to You. Until, Lord Jesus, You come, help us to serve You better. In Jesus' name, amen.